Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 305 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey Megan.
Hey Sarah.
We are talking about what we really served for dinner and ate and consumed or went out for or ordered in the week of March 8th. So we've been talking about this for a little while. It's actually the fourth time we've done this, and we'll link up episodes 72, 196, and 254. But the idea is that we take a week of our real life, we write down what we actually served and ate for dinner each night, and then we talk about it on the podcast just as a way to remind everybody that what you plan ahead to serve and eat and what you actually eat are often two very different things.
Yeah, and I think it's so funny that every time this comes up, I go through all these mental gymnastics to try to fit, like, to pick the right week. Like, what's the week that's going to be normal? What's the week where I'll have the kids more so I can talk about family meals? Like, what's the week where I don't think I'll be going out? And then what ends up happening is, of course, I get halfway in the week. I'm like, oh man, I wish we'd done this last week. Like, last week, my meal plan was so much better and I actually pulled it off. And as you'll hear us when we're talking, it doesn't always go down the way you plan for. And that's okay. That is very normal.
That is normal. And that's hence the real life part of this. And, you know, I don't have any problem with when people share their meal plans for the week on a Sunday, looking at the week ahead. I don't have any I think I find that very helpful, very inspiring. I just think we don't talk as much about what actually happened, because by that time we're looking ahead to next week. You know, we all know that stuff goes down during the week and plans change and we order pizza we didn't mean to and the kids refuse to eat something, so we let them eat cereal. And we know in our heart of hearts that that's part of feeding a family. Fewer people talk about it than they talk about their aspirational plans for next week. Cause that's just how we are. We're like, well, get back on the horse and do a plan for next week. So that's what drew us to this idea. And I think that's what, you know, we've had listeners say this is one of their favorite little series that we do. And so, I think it's important, the real life part of it, even if, Megan, it didn't go exactly, even if it wasn't your ideal real life.
It wasn't my best effort, but that's okay. And I want to mention two things that happened that were a little bit different for me recently, or that are changing, I guess, the way I'm eating now, going to eat, and some things I've talked about in the past. One is that I finally did buy, I guess I bought an eighth of a cow.
Okay.
Because I split a half of a cow with my special man friend, and then my brother's family and I split the half.
Your
and half.
Half.
Right. Yes. So we split a quarter, so I have an eighth. So that meant I had to move, either throw away or move almost everything out of my freezer. It means I'm going to be eating a lot more beef and a lot less pork. I mean, we're a big pork family. I did have a pork shoulder in my freezer that needed to get used, but I took it out to let it thaw and forgot that a pork shoulder will take days.
Oh, days. Yes.
Thaw. It takes forever. So I had planned to make that like Tuesday, and that got bumped way and down the line of the week. And you'll just be hearing a lot more beef talk from me. I was like, order from like a small family farm. They're all grass fed beef, which, you know, is a little more expensive than the stuff you can buy at the store, but like it really is a difference in flavor. And it's just like the way that they're raised is more in line with what I want to be supporting. So there was that. And the other thing just to mention, this isn't like an excuse, it's just a reality for people in the Midwest or in northern climates, is that this is the time of year the weather starts to get real chancy in both wonderful and awful ways. So sometimes you think this is going to be the week that you're having like this, you're going to make stew or something. And then that day it's 55 degrees out and you can grill, or you can go out and sit on a patio, or like you don't feel like doing any of it because you just want to go for a long walk or whatever. So we're having a lot of those temperature swings right now. And that was happening that week too, which did it totally affected what we ended up eating.
Yeah. Well, I 100% support going where the sunshine is, literally and figuratively. So if that impacted your dinner plans, I think it was for the better. I want to mention that we put you in, included in a comment on an Instagram post one time, that we would love for listeners to send us their week of real life dinners. And I meant to kind of follow up or announce it on the show. It was really buried. It was buried deep in a caption that you put up about your pot roast, and we'll get to what the night that you had pot roast. And we just said, hey, send us what you really served for dinner. And seven people did in very thorough, like wonderful.
Very thorough.
I loved it. And it was so great because I honestly didn't know if anybody would, because usually when we announce something like that, we kind of push it hard. We put it in the Facebook group and we shout it from the rooftops, and we didn't. So we got seven additional listener menus, plus Kelsey, who works on our team, who often we rope into this project because it's helpful to hear what other families in different parts of the country are eating. So that was really fun. And we're going to publish all of their menus on our blog. And in the show notes, you'll find a link for where to find those. But as we talk through our menus today, we'll also highlight here and there what other moms around the country had for dinner, which I think is really fun. So thank you to those of you who saw that one little comment and took the time to write down your whole week of meals. So
yes, thank you. And I also have to give a big thank you to Kelsey, who does keep us, like, reins us in. And what's the word I'm looking for? Like, she's just like the gentle nudge. Hey, report
against
your dinner.
Against our will.
Because otherwise I would forget. Like, if I got to the end of the week and looked back and tried to remember what I ate for dinner every night, I don't know that I'd be able to remember super accurately. So she checks in and reminds us. And we have fun conversations about, you know, the general benefits of pork versus cow and just other things. So,
and whenever she nudges us, it always feels like, I am not going to want to talk about this. This was the dumbest like cop out of a meal. But then with a little hindsight, we get on the mic and we're like, okay, there's something to talk about here. So yes, blessings on Kelsey, who puts up with us. We're like, oh, why are you asking me what I ate for dinner? All right. Well, let's take a break and we will dive in starting with Monday, March 8th and just go through the week. So we'll be right back.
Sarah, I admit I've got a little bit of a travel bug right now. I'm dreaming of hitting the road somehow, sometime this year.
Oh, I know for sure. And I was thinking about how many of our listeners with young kids haven't traveled in over a year. So that's going to be an adjustment when they like road trip to the vaccinated grandparents' house. It's a whole relearning curve when it comes to taking the family on the road.
That's why we're so happy to welcome our sponsor, Regalo Baby, today. Regalo is a family-owned company that makes affordable and super practical products for busy families. They're well known for their baby gates, but they also have a ton of solutions for travel.
Yes, like portable high chairs and booster seats, portable sleep solutions for infants and toddlers, and a pop-up play yard that can contain a busy crawler when the world around them isn't totally, you know, baby-proofed yet.
Regalo's products are super durable, and they're all about simplicity and functionality. Because you're right, Sarah, starting to travel again is going to feel weird at first. Check out regalobaby.com/themomhour to browse their safety and travel products and receive a special discount. That's regalobaby.com/themomhour for a discount on Regalo's collection of gear to make your life as a parent easier. All right, Sarah, tell me more about how our sponsor Athletic Greens fits into your morning routine. I am intrigued.
I'm so glad you asked. Isn't it funny how other people's routine quirks can be so fascinating? Okay, so I wake up and have coffee in bed and read or plan my day. Then I come out to the kitchen, put a scoop of Athletic Greens daily all-in-one superfood powder into a mason jar, fill it up with cold water from a pitcher in the fridge, and shake it up. So my kids lovingly call this my swamp water because of its dark green color, and I just kind of carry that jar around with me while I make school lunches and help with breakfast. By the time I'm finished with it, I'm obviously super hydrated from all that water, but I've also given myself 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a probiotic, a greens blend, and more. All those things work together to fill the nutritional gaps in my diet, increase my energy and focus, aid with digestion, and support a healthy immune system before I've even had breakfast.
Okay, I'm so glad I asked. But yes, I am fascinated, and maybe I'll start a similar routine of my own. Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve this one formula based on the latest research, and they really go above and beyond in testing that formula to make sure it's up to their quality standards. The Athletic Greens powder is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and it contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste.
And right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system by offering our listeners a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/momhour and they'll set you up with that great deal. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/momhour to get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of superfood powder today. All right, we're going to travel back in time a couple of weeks and go through the week dinner by dinner. But first, just a little context setting here. Just a reminder that we have people listening from literally all over the world, and that feeding your family according to your priorities. We've talked about this a million times, Megan, but it involves, there's a lot of stuff packed into that. There's economic realities. There's working family realities. There's families with different health or behavioral issues for their kids. There's economic privilege and financial struggles. There's just all kinds. There's cultural things that we bring from our families of origin or that we're, you know, kind of finding ways to incorporate into our current family. So just a reminder that this is, we always say this is a judgment-free zone, and we try to continue that with every episode. But in particular with food, like how other moms feed their families just includes so much that you're not seeing. And by highlighting a week of meals, we're not saying this is how you should feed your family or even that this is how we wanted to feed our families that week.
We're just, this is just what happened.
I guess my point is there's no inherent moral value, good or bad, in any of these meal plans. Like, it's literally just the food we threw at our kids and hoped for the best. So there's my little disclaimer before we get started. So
love it.
All right, it's Monday and my notes tell me that you made pot roast, but I would like to hear more.
Well, and so did Instagram, right? Yeah, this is just one of my old chestnuts. Pot roast was from one of my, from part of my new cow that's part of my part of cow.
Thank
that
you,
is
cow.
Inhabiting my freezer. I will say that an eighth of a cow took up a lot less freezer space. In our last episode, we talked about things in our kitchens that are, you know, not that functional. And I have a side-by-side fridge and freezer. And I don't like that, typically, the way the freezer is, like, narrow and tiny. But the way that the beef was all packaged worked really well. Anyway, that's just an aside. But anyway, we had pot roast, and as always, pot roast in my family can, or in my house, contains potatoes. This time, I think I did red potatoes, like new potatoes, and quartered them, and carrots and onions, and the kids love it. It is just an easy, if I'm around early enough to put it in early in the day, it is one of the easiest things that makes the kids the most happy, and I like
it too. I love that. And so you do the searing on all sides and then like low heat in an oven, in a Dutch oven type thing?
Yep. I sear it in the Dutch oven with the onions. And then I typically don't put the vegetables in till later because I'll have it in the oven for like 4 or 5 hours. So I put the vegetables in like at the last hour. Sometimes I even do the vegetables separately because the kids also really like roasted vegetables, and that's another way you can do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just very simple. And I put some kind of liquid. I believe I put a beer in it.
Nice.
Or maybe some red wine that tends to make it nice and tender. I think it was beer this time.
Love it. And I bet you really can taste the quality of the beef with a pot roast.
Yeah, it really was different. And it was a more like kind of dense flavor. I think.
Was it leaner? Was the fat marbling different too?
It really wasn't as marbly.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the grain fed, it fattens them up and they get much more of that marbled look. And this was like a denser. It's only really way almost gamey.
Yeah.
In a way, but like in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. But in a good way. Yeah. I love it. Yep. All right. Well, Monday we had tacos / burritos / taco salad with ground beef as the protein. And when we do that kind of a meal, it's sort of like the protein is the starter. And then Brian and I usually do a taco salad. And the taco salad would have like black beans and corn and probably shredded carrots and maybe some red onion. And then the beef, and then you could add cheese. And I like my taco salad with ranch dressing. But you could do like a salsa and sour cream. Like, so we do a loaded up taco salad, and then the kids will basically make their version of burritos. And it looks very different for all three of them. Violet is a vegetarian right now, which is great. It was her decision and she's been great about it. And she's actually a really good little eater to be a vegetarian. She loves beans. She loves like edamame. She drinks milk. She consumes quite a bit of protein and, you know, plant-based products, I guess. So it's not just like white bread. So she'll make like an avocado, corn, and black bean burrito. Reed does a bunch of meat, a bunch of hot sauce, crumpled up chips, and that's it inside his burrito. And Allegra will do kind of what I think would be more traditional. She'll do meat, cheese, some cilantro. That's like her. She thinks she's eating like salad now because she likes a little sprinkling of cilantro and it's green. So yeah, the kids can do their own thing. And then we'd always have chips on the table and kind of a Mexican night. And then I was also going to mention, if you're new around here, you may not know this, but my husband cooks 90% of the dinners in our house. And I always feel a little like I have to explain that. And I shouldn't, but I do. I mean, I do most of the dishes. I do almost all the shopping and planning. I make 100% of the lunches and snacks. I shouldn't need to justify it, but I mention it because I say we a lot. Like, we had this. And let's assume that the we is Brian, unless I say otherwise, because he he loves to cook. And I do a lot of sous chefing. I do a lot of like planning, prepping, shopping, organizing dishes, all the things around it. But he's doing the cooking, and I'm very lucky for that.
Well, like we pointed out, this is what was consumed. It has really nothing to do with what was cooked or who cooked
right.
what.
Right.
You know,
it is the royal we. And then Kelsey on our team, I loved this dinner. So they did beer battered fish from their local meat market. She says it's her kids' favorite. I love that. And then she serves it as fish and chips, but she said with literal chips, like Lay's potato chips, because teacher on a Monday. Kelsey took on a teaching position this year in addition to working part-time for us. And she's living that teacher mom life like many of you. And so fish and chips, but the chips were Lay's. So I love that.
It's such a nice shortcut. I mean, yeah. And I wonder if her kids really understand that fish and chips usually would mean something different.
Right.
It took me a while to figure that out in my life.
I wonder if they have a deep fryer or an air fryer. I'm very curious about this beer battered fish. We don't do a lot of frying in the house, but I love fried food. I'm not opposed to that. We just don't. So I'm very curious about the beer battered fish. Okay, moving on to Tuesday. What did you do for dinner?
So this was the aforementioned day that it got really, really warm. And so my sister-in-law, Jenna, # teacher on a Tuesday.
Yes.
I think I went over to her house to, I can't even remember, Clara. Oh, I remember. Clara told me she wanted to have an old fashioned play outside until dark day because it was so nice.
That is
and so,
so
she
cute.
And her cousin Luna, who's younger by almost 2 years. And so sometimes they have like a, I don't know, they, you know, Clara's right in the middle between two cousins.
Yeah.
And she's the middle one. So she tends to gravitate toward there. The older. So yeah. There's a dynamic, but they played outside until like they went to the park and they played outside. And so that left Jen and I were like, let's go out. So Jen and I went and took ourselves to a local restaurant with a nice outdoor patio and had tenderloin tips with shishito peppers and like a really delicious lemon aioli. I can never say that word. Aioli.
Yeah.
And the rest of my kids had Taco Bell.
Nice.
Because it was one of those things that they're always begging me for Taco Bell. And I'm always like, no, because I personally, of all the fast foods, I rank Taco Bell like the lowest. So I never...
Yeah,
ever want to eat it, literally ever. It doesn't take that long to make a good taco, so I just there's no point to me. But anyway, they really get into all the like gordita crunch wrap nacho Dorito flavored this and that. I don't even know what it all is. And so that night, I was the awesome mom. I actually handed them my credit card and let them like put the order in. It was that I was like, here you go.
That's amazing. Do you have a drive through? Do they go get it?
No, they did DoorDash.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like I didn't even have to be involved. I didn't even have to smell the Taco Bell. I mean, we live probably like 3 blocks from Taco Bell. So this is like the kind of DoorDash that will be here in 5 minutes. But I just let them take over.
I love it.
Just made sure they tipped. That was about it.
That's what a little sunshine in early March will do to you.
Yes. It made me go a little crazy. Yes.
Like in Bambi, you were like Twitter-pated.
Yes, I was Twitter-pated. Yes. It was like, let's go do something.
Yeah. This is a total side note, but when I moved to the Midwest from growing up in California, I remember telling people like, wait, you guys, Twitter pated is like a real thing. Like people get weird and funny and silly when the weather warms up. And I just thought it was hilarious because it seemed like just a joke, but there's a behavioral change and a collective Twitterpation that happens.
Everybody is like ready to like throw their coats off and go outside and do something out of the ordinary. Like everyone is just so ready and it's like the mood lifts and it's fun. It's fun to be part
of. And
it's
a very collective experience where like you don't have to know people. You don't have to talk about the weather or make small talk. It's a shared understanding. It's really special actually. I loved it. Okay. Well, I think we also had some nice weather because we busted out the grill. We were trying to use up some proteins. My lovely husband has a thing with filling our freezer with great proteins and then not using them or like deciding to like go to the store and get different proteins. And sometimes I'm like, nope, I want us to come up with a meal plan that uses what we have. And so we did chicken breasts and hot dogs on the grill. We had some sweet potatoes from our farm box that we needed to use up. And we have grilled sweet potatoes before, and that's really good. But I think at the last minute, we just threw them in the oven. So the sweet potatoes were in the oven. chicken and hot dogs on the grill, and Violet made herself a single serve Annie's mac and cheese little cup, which those have been good. I really wanted her to get to a point where she could make herself mac and cheese, especially with this vegetarian thing. And I don't mind making a box of mac and cheese. We usually have it around, but she's real weird about eating the leftovers. Like, she doesn't like it the next day. So it's very wasteful, obviously. And so these single serve Annie's things have been good. And we've tried a couple other single serve mac and cheeses she can make herself too. So that was Tuesday night. And then Andrea.
Quick question for you. When you roast sweet potatoes, do you always cube or dice them, or do you sometimes put them whole in the oven?
We always cut them in some form. Sometimes they're more like a wedge or different, you know, the shape of a sweet potato is so weird. Sometimes you have to get creative with the shape.
But I've been thinking about slicing it and putting butter in it. That's why I'm asking, because I feel like there would be something really delicious about that. And I always cube them, or sometimes like round them, you know, like you're right. It's never going to be even because they're oddly shaped. I just haven't really done that. Like, that I can even really remember. And I know that's a thing. People do whole sweet potatoes all the time.
Yep. And I haven't, but I would like to check to try that too. Because two out of three of my kids like sweet potatoes, and I think would eat them more like a baked potato. My mom does it sometimes for herself, because she often eats more vegetarian or more plant-based than my dad, and she'll sometimes toss one in for herself. So, okay. So Andrea is our listener and a full-time attorney, a working mom. Her kids are 5 and 3. So this was their Tuesday night dinner. They did chicken, zucchini, mushroom, and chickpeas. So I love that combination, because I forget about chickpeas to do in something like that. And they used the Trader Joe's jarred masala simmer sauce. I have not tried that simmer sauce, but I love the Thai green chili or the Thai green curry simmer sauce. So Trader Joe's has great sauces. And then they had rice and naan, which again was Trader Joe's frozen naan, which everybody loves. And then I love that she broke out what the kids actually ate. So the kids had the chicken and the chickpeas only before the sauce was added, which is totally what, you know, that's par for the course. And they had rice and naan and raspberries on the side. And she said that because she's been working from home, she's actually able to prep stuff earlier in the day, even though she's working full time. And she said in her email that she kind of likes being able to do that. That's a perk of working from home. So the meal kind of happened in stages throughout the day. And that sounds, first of all, yummy, nutritious, and easily scalable for little eaters. So I love that one.
I do think that, I mean, that whole being able to work from home or being forced to work from home thing that has happened over the last year. I'm wondering for how many working moms that's been kind of a dinner game changer, because I think it's ironic that for me, so many of the easiest meals just happen to take the longest. So they're the easiest to put together and to assemble, but then you have to be around to put them in the oven early. Or to kind of get everything prepped. They don't necessarily take a longer time beginning to end. It can't be done all. It can't all be done in an hour. And that definitely limits you when you're not getting home until 6 or 6:30 at night. So
yeah
I love that. That sounds like a really balanced meal, Andrea.
Yeah.
For you.
Well done. We said we weren't going to have, there's no moral judgments. There's no like passing or failing.
Oh,
on these
sorry.
Meals.
Andrea, you did it. Something. You did something.
You fed your family. And by that definition, you win.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we with Wednesday?
Okay. So Wednesday was one of the nights that week that the kids were with John, and I just had a salad.
Okay. Like a pre-made salad? Did you make it?
No, I made it. I've been getting better about having salads.
I hate making salad.
So what I've been doing is buying and I know we've talked about if you buy the clamshell thing, it goes bad. So I have to have more things going on. So I have now one of arugula and of mixed greens. Uh-huh. And so I mix them together and I will put I think in this case I did tuna, a pack of tuna.
Okay.
And just put it on the top, and then I'll just add whatever else I have. So sometimes I'll have leftover vegetables that I didn't get, chopped up, red peppers that I didn't get all in the tacos the other day. And I just try to hang on to everything. Oh, I've also been doing a lot of red cabbage, and I don't know why I kind of avoid cabbage. It lasts forever. You can have a head of cabbage in your fridge and hack off a hunk, every couple of days, and it will last a really long time, but it just adds this nice crunch. And so it had that on it. I think that was it. Maybe a little cheese.
Do you even really do dressing? Oh, I was going to ask. Really.
I don't hate dressing, but I really don't like to bite into a salad with a big hunk of ranch on it. So unless it's a restaurant chopped and tossed salad, I often will just do a squeeze of lime juice. mm-hmm. and like a drizzle of balsamic. That's it.
Yeah.
I just prefer the flavor and I like to be able to taste everything else.
Well, I'm very impressed that you made a salad when it was just you eating alone, because that's like, it's so hard for me for some reason to like put that much mental energy and emotional labor into yeah. feeding myself. I love salads and I love restaurant salads, and Brian makes a lot of great salads, so I eat them, but I have a really hard time, like, I just can't care enough to make one, especially if it were just for myself. So,
well, this is something that took me several years of after being divorced and not having yeah. my kids with me several days a week to kind of get good at, because
yeah.
I was the same way. I would just like have a half peanut butter sandwich or something, like yeah. shove toast in my face. Yeah. And that's fine. I do that sometimes still. But like, you know, at some point I've gotten really good at shopping so that I run out of food, mm-hmm. so that I run out of kid food when they're not here. And that means if I don't like take the effort to put yeah. something together that's a real meal, I'm really eating scraps. Like there's yeah. nothing left for me. And so I kind of have tricked myself a little bit.
Yeah. We are getting the farm box that I've mentioned, and there's so many interesting greens and they're so good. I mean, they're like, when they have just come out of the earth, turns out like they taste better, and beautiful lettuces. And so we really have been trying to use our greens more and in more interesting yeah. ways. And I have access to all of them. I agree that cabbage is a great like to add in for crunch and bite. And yeah, so love it. Well, on Wednesday, we had breakfast for dinner, which if I'm serving breakfast for dinner, like if Brian was traveling, it would be French toast or pancakes and that's it. And I would call it breakfast for dinner, or maybe scrambled eggs. But Brian was available and he was cooking, so we had bacon. For some reason, if we have bacon with breakfast for dinner, it feels like special and like a real meal and not a cop-out.
See, I was going to say French toast feels like much bigger to do to me than bacon and
yeah,
eggs.
Yeah, so. I can make French toast like with my eyes closed for some reason. It's one of my staples. So, and it requires so few ingredients, milk, bread, eggs, whereas the meat part feels daunting to me. But we did that night have bacon, scrambled eggs, toast, and fruit. And I also wanted to mention that this was the day there was a giant lizard in my kitchen.
It was so big.
They are called alligator lizards. It's called a southern alligator lizard. And there's a reason. Their tail is as longer than their body. So with their tail, they're like over a foot long. With their body is like 6 or 8 inches long. And California and Arizona and Texas people, you all know the little lizards that we have, like that are everywhere. They're like, you know, 3 or 4 inches. They're tiny and they're really cute. And they're on the rocks. This is not those. This is like a completely different species. And I've only seen a couple of them here. And it was in my house all day. And we knew where it was. It was behind the dishwasher. Getting it out involved like a hairdryer and grill tongs and me laying on my stomach on the counter. And like this whole operation, we had to like steer it outside. It's too long a story for this podcast, but when Kelsey asked us what we had for dinner, I was like, please remind me that this was also the day that a lizard was living in my kitchen for like 6 hours before we got it out. So it felt yeah. relevant.
Well, it was funny because I saw that message between you and Kelsey and I thought, oh, like I'm picturing like a cute little like gecko type lizard.
Yeah, we have lots of those.
And then I saw your video or picture of it on Instagram. I was like, oh my goodness, what? That's like a beast.
It was. It was seriously a beast. And we successfully, safely got it out without harming it. And the kids were all involved in the rescue operation. And it was very funny. So, yeah.
Well, let's share Elizabeth's dinner for Wednesday. So she's got two girls, 11 and 14. And then she says her husband and she also care for their elderly parents who live close by. So I'm sure that also has an impact on how they do their dinner planning, right?
Yeah.
So they had crock pot chicken breast with sauce and dressing. She says that she steamed the broccoli and she steamed broccoli and her husband and she ate that. And the 11-year-old had the same meal as yesterday as well, which was the crock pot chicken breast, while the teenager ate a leftover meatball, toast, more pasta, and raw carrots. I love yeah. everything about that meal. A singular leftover meatball,
yep.
toast, pasta, and carrots. It's like, it's just a smorgasbord. It's just an a la carte feast.
Yes. And Elizabeth said when she wrote to us that they basically like do a lot of cooking 2 or 3 days a week and then kind of do this fend for yourself or like pick. It's still meals that are cooked. They're whole food ingredient meals, but you're piecing together leftovers in creative ways, which I love. And they do care for elderly parents. So
yeah.
This day happened to be like the second or third day when they were using up the prior day's meals, if that makes sense. So I mean, I think so many families are in that boat and it's still like 100% counts as a meal when you're just, when you're sort of like pulling elements of the past few days' meals. And I personally, my kids love it when they're allowed a little more freedom of what to choose from. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of pressure put on moms to like have everyone eating the same thing and sitting down together every night. And we've talked about it. Like it's a good North Star, but it's not always reality. So I appreciate that from Elizabeth.
Me too. And the things that we think go together, like in a kid or teenager's mind, like they may think things go together that we just don't think of as a meal, but it all works.
It all works. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break and it will be Thursday when we come back.
Sarah, I was just thinking about how this time of year always inspires me to do major decluttering and organizing, like the garage, the closets, the basement. And it also gives me flashbacks to when my kids were littler and I felt like I was constantly trying to keep our toy room under control.
Oh, I know what you mean. I have always loved putting high quality toys in my kids' hands, but it's so easy to go overboard trying to keep up with their developmental stages and interests. I remember those early months and years kind of felt like a toy buying spree. And then at the end, you just wind up with this brightly colored mess.
And an expensive mess too, right? I always kind of wished I could just borrow toys from a friend to get my little one through each stage and then like give them back at the end and then borrow new ones. And that's basically what our sponsor Tiny Earth Toys lets you do. Tiny Earth Toys is a sustainable toy subscription service, and here's how it works. Your child will receive a kit of quality wooden toys tailored to their age and stage, and then after 4 months, you return the kit and get a new one. The toys are then cleaned, disinfected, and refurbished, and sent on to a new family to enjoy. These are high-quality, simple wooden toys, the kind I always liked for my kids. No plastic, no batteries, no beeping, and each one comes with a comprehensive play guide written by education experts.
I love the sustainability in this idea. You can really help eliminate so much waste, not to mention cut down on your own personal clutter. Subscribe or gift a kit of Tiny Earth toys today at www.tinyearth.co/momhour. Again, that's www.tinyearth.co/momhour. We are welcoming back Nutrafol as a sponsor for today's episode. And Megan, I have never been more aware of how stress affects my physical body than I have in the past year. And I know I'm not alone.
You're definitely not, Sarah. And hair thinning and loss is just one of the lovely things that prolonged stress can do to us. And it turns out that 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair, either due to stress or other factors like hormones, environment, nutrition, or metabolism. If you're among that group, there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Thousands of women have taken back control of their hair with Nutrafol.
Yeah, Nutrafol is a supplement that's clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free, and its two targeted formulas for women both support healthy hair growth from within by targeting the five root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism.
You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code THEMOMHOUR to save 20% off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code THEMOMHOUR.
All right, Megan. So by Thursday, your kids were also with John again, right? So did you make yourself another salad? Yep.
No, this time I made eggs and put with the rest of the pot roast. So here's what I did. I took the pot roast and I put it in a like in a skillet and got it a little crispy, kind of almost like a the way I do with pork roast.
Yep.
Or pork loin. No, pork butt. Sorry. There's so many different cuts.
Yeah.
Shoulder. Yes.
Shoulder butt.
Shoulder butt. And yes, it's not actually the pig's rear end that is important to note. But this was the pot roast, the beef pot roast. And I did that. And then I put over medium eggs on top and cabbage on top of that. And then I made a crema.
Oh, yeah.
So I put the drizzled the crema over the top. And
so do you just do lime juice and sour cream? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
And heavy cream. And I don't really, I mean, I just eyeball it. Yeah. I usually do like a big spoonful because I'm usually making it for myself. The only other kid who really is eating it is Owen. And I've been doing it a lot lately because it's just so delicious. But nobody ever seems to like sour cream. And I've been trying to like swing them to sour cream because I think it makes so many dishes taste so good. And so one day I made a crema and Owen tried it and he was like, oh, so now I've noticed every time I put it out, he'll go for some, but he was not with me that day. So I just made a little dish of it, like one spoonful of sour cream, a glug of heavy cream and a squeeze of lime. And then I whisk it and taste it. And if it's not quite right, I adjust.
Yeah. So I call it crema when I just do sour cream, lime juice, and sometimes a little really finely chopped cilantro. But I don't think I've ever looked up a recipe. I just like to call it crema. So I didn't know about the heavy cream. I didn't know if that's like a thing you're supposed to.
That was just a recipe that I found.
Okay.
I don't know. It makes it makes it drippy. And it makes it really drippy. And so you can kind of drizzle it over the top with the whisk, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think might have thrown some lettuce on top of that too. It was like a whole thing.
I love a pile of food like that, like a bowl, like something.
Yes. Yeah. And I really love a pile of food when there's a broken egg.
Yep. Me too. It's the best. Yep. I know you and I have the same taste buds. That sounds really good. So we on Thursday had shrimp and pasta in red sauce with veggies. But this is another one of those that came together very differently depending on who's eating. So Brian cooked the shrimp on its own, set it aside, then sauteed a bunch of veggies, just whatever we had. I think there were bell peppers, mushrooms, spinach that wilted down, like a bunch of veggies. For Brian and I, we put it all in red sauce and we use these red lentil penne noodles from Trader Joe's that are my favorite for a non like gluten based. We're not gluten free, but I still like these red lentil penne noodles. With the red sauce and the shrimp and the veggies and then some Parmesan cheese on top. But the kids would have regular like white flour, regular noodles. Some of them I think they all like red sauce. Okay. They probably didn't eat any of the vegetables. And if they had shrimp, it was like in pieces on the side, not mixed together. And then I think we had run out to the store that day. Brian maybe had. And so he had one of those big loaves of like really soft French bread, not the hard baguette, but the really like squishy on the inside. And the kids just call that soft white bread. And it's like a big treat for them. And yeah. I know that whatever we're serving, it doesn't matter because they're going to eat three huge pieces of soft white bread with a ton of butter. And they're going to be so happy. And they won't think of it as a meal they didn't like because there was just soft white bread. So
I want to mention I have not tried red lentil penne or pasta yet, but I did try that black soybean pasta from Aldi, and I have another edamame pasta. We should do like a whole thing sometime about alternate pastas. Because I will tell you, I did a little story on my Instagram and so many people responded. Like, it was fascinating.
Yeah.
People are really into alternative pasta situations. So,
you know, I agree because I don't have any gluten issues. I'm not a no carb or even a low carb eater. But the way I like a pasta dish is so not about the pasta, really. It's about everything else. And I love some good Parmesan cheese. And I love like all the things that to me, it's a very easy substitute that perhaps could bring a little more protein or be a little less processed or whatever. So it doesn't
just have
feel
to
like
be
a
the
takeaway.
Right texture to be to be the vehicle for all those other things. Yeah. And once you got that down, and I was actually impressed, but I'll have to try the red lentil and see what I think.
Yeah, and they're a pleasing color. I will say some of the black bean ones are a little weird looking in their color. I don't know about the edamame ones, but the red lentil is a pleasing color, and they're great. Violet really likes them too. She likes regular pasta, but she'll often have both, and she'll take them for school lunch the next day. So that's a staple for us. So, all right. Well, Gina on Thursday had pot roast with onions, carrots, green beans, and peas, and then baked potatoes in the microwave. But I will tell you, Gina, that America's Test Kitchen, their proven method for baked potatoes includes half of the time in the microwave and then finishing them in the oven. It's fast, and it also gets like the right consistency. So I don't think you need
to put baked potatoes in the oven take forever.
Right, exactly. So you didn't know it, Gina, but you're actually doing it the proven method in the microwave. Yes,
the test kitchen then, proven.
Yeah. She said, I was going to make homemade crusty bread, but I forgot to start it in time. So I toasted a slice of sourdough for everyone and then sliced strawberries. She said, I was planning that this meal would provide a lot of leftovers, but the meat was a different cut than I expected and it was tough and horrible. So we threw away the leftovers, which is something I never do. Overall, this meal was a fail. Aww. No, it wasn't, Gina. No. It just was a meal.
I bet those baked potatoes were great.
Yes.
So there you go. Yes.
And who doesn't like sliced sourdough bread with dinner? It's fine. Yeah. Bread solves everything. All right. How about Friday?
So Friday was like the day before Clara's birthday. And so John was going to be going out of town. So we kind of did like a little pre-birthday celebration with all the kids and John and I. And so we went to Chili's and I had fajitas. Nice. And I don't even know what the kids had. They had whatever they had. They had Chili's food. I believe Clara might have had a burger. And William had chicken and waffles, which I didn't realize you can get at Chili's. And I don't remember what Owen had.
Yeah, I used to really like Chili's of those, of that.
Those type, of like those the low Chili's and mid range. Yeah. Well, they do have, they've got like, you know, they've got fun margaritas and they've got some good, they've got some good basic Tex-Mex.
Yes.
And I think their fajitas are solid. So.
Yep. I agree. I always thought the food, I feel like that was a staple for Brian and me when we, before we had kids, if we were going to go somewhere like that, it was probably a Chili's. And then even when the kids were really little, I don't remember what they ate there, but it was an occasional family outing. So, well, Friday night we left town on the Sunday of this week for our little mountain adventure. So by Friday I declared it clean out the fridge night. And we also had some frozen convenience foods that I wanted to get eaten. So we had some frozen egg rolls randomly from a couple weeks earlier. Brian had made a homemade Asian soup that was really good, but he wanted to serve it. It was for Sunday dinner with my parents and he wanted to serve it like with something. So he bought frozen egg rolls and we had some frozen mini pizzas. So we got out all the like frozen convenience food, cooked them in the oven. And then I think we put out hummus and carrots or probably sliced some fruit for the kids. On Friday nights, the kids usually eat in front of whatever program they are watching. And I put a like picnic blanket down on the floor of our bonus room and they eat in front of the TV. And they have been doing that since they were like, I don't know, like 2, 4, and 6, like these little things with their little plastic plate sitting on the floor looking at a TV screen. And that's just,
I
and
feel
they
like
still,
I have pictures. Like, I feel like I remember you putting pictures of that.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I can see their little faces looking up.
Yeah. Yep. And the dog is always like, we always have to keep the dog on a leash or now there's a door actually that we can close, but because the dog will go sniffing around, but they've always picnicked on the floor on Friday nights. And then we just do whatever. So that was a clean out the fridge night. And those frozen egg rolls were darn good, if I do say so myself. Mm. So, yeah.
Sounds like there's some good frozen situations. Those were all from TJ's?
The egg rolls weren't. They were from Vons, which is our like big box grocery store. The mini pizzas probably were. But Trader Joe's has awesome.
And frozen food stuff in general has come a long way. Like you can find really some good stuff.
Yeah. Well, and actually Lizzie, our listener who has a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old. Lizzie is the listener we ran into in Nashville on the street.
Oh,
Megan.
Lizzie.
That's Lizzie. So that,
that baby is 14 months old now?
Yeah. Right? Aww. Yes. Because she was pregnant.
Yes.
I know. Lizzie's a vegetarian. The rest of her family isn't. And they did frozen pizzas also on Friday night. The kids was a Trader Joe's Bambino's frozen pizza. And then she and her husband used the cauliflower pizza crusts from Whole Foods and put a bunch of veggies on top. She also put steamed broccoli on top of the kids' pizzas. So you can take a frozen convenience item and, you know, jazz it up a little.
Yeah. And elevate it, as they say. And I'm going to also say that I have had a few cauliflower pizza crusts recently that were darn good. So I think if the toppings are good, you can pull it off.
Now, did you have it at a restaurant or were someone in a home?
I have had twice at restaurants, but one was homemade there at the restaurant and one was from a box. Like one was from a mix. They told us that it was,
I haven't, but I'm very intrigued. I would like it. I just haven't.
And, And I would say Special Man Fran has also made me one that had cauliflower in it, but it was also a ton of cream cheese. So yes, cauliflower was like the substitute for grain, but it was very time intensive. Like it took them a really long time and there was lots of cheese in it. So
yeah,
it just tasted like a really cheesy pizza with cheese crust, basically.
Yeah, right.
Like a cheese like pizza
sandwich.
A structured
cheese crust. Interesting.
Yep.
All right. Are we on Saturday?
We are. So that was Clara's actual birthday and we had, John and Jenna's family over and I made a huge taco salad with all the fixings laid out with my, cow. And, we had like everything, salsa, avocados. Yeah. We had,
Does your cow, tostadas and ground beef?
Yes. Tons of ground beef and it's in 1 pound, little tube portions. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep. Do you like, black beans in your taco salad? Do you do like pinto or red beans?
Especially if I was serving like a lot of people, I would probably do a lot of beans because it just helps go, you know, it helps stretch it. And sometimes I would even mix the beans in. My kids all really like black beans. But that day I did not. That day I just did beef and cheese and a lot of vegetables.
Okay. So we eat taco salad a lot, and so do my parents. And my parents put kidney beans in with the, they rinse them and stuff from the can and then mix it into the salad part of the mix. And kidney beans are the only bean I really do not care for. Now, it's fine if there's a few mixed into my taco salad, but I really prefer black beans in my taco salad.
I would never put a kidney bean,
I know,
in a taco salad. Kidney bean is like for a soup or a chili or something.
I agree.
I've done pinto beans. They're fine. But black beans are where it's at.
I know.
And that's the final word. I'm dropping the mic and walking away.
I know. Sorry, Lisa. I mean, it's fine, but black beans. And I didn't know if maybe that was just me. Maybe other people were putting red beans or pinto beans or other beans in their taco salad. So let's see. So Saturday, we still hadn't left for our trip, but we were still kind of cleaning out the fridge, but less about the frozen convenience food. But we had enough potatoes to do baked potatoes for the kids. And I think potatoes are the through line of this whole episode, actually. I feel like I'm having a renewed love for all potatoes. I don't know if it's because like carbs being bad was such like a pervasive thing for a while. And even though I don't think of myself as a low carb eater, I just wasn't buying and cooking a lot of potatoes. But we've just been doing, first of all three of my kids like baked potatoes. And the fact that all three of my kids like them and you can put different things on them, it's a great meal for us. And we often pair baked potatoes with a fish night for Brian and me, because the kids might have a little fish, but they're probably not going to eat very much of it. So then they get a big loaded baked potato and we'll have fish and some potatoes. But I also, you mentioned red new potatoes. I love those, like quartered up and done like in the skillet or the oven. I'm just a fan of potatoes in general.
Well, and I moved away from baked potatoes, which were definitely like my entry level potato, my starter potato, if you will. And then I really went hard toward little potatoes because they're just easy and they taste, there's so the flavor is more dense. But I still, like, if I was going to go out to a restaurant and get a steak, if you're not going to give me a baked potato with that steak, forget it. You could just take it right back. I don't want it. So
it's so funny. And actually, even mashed potatoes are so much easier to make than you think. And I only think of mashed potatoes as when you have to make them for 25 people at Thanksgiving. It's very labor intensive. But if you wanted to cook three baked potatoes, if you're cleaning out your fridge and you had three potatoes, baking them and scooping it out and adding, I mean, you can make mashed potatoes with anything. You can do butter. You can do butter and cream cheese. You can do sour cream. You can do milk.
You can smash them up. You don't even have to truly mash them if you don't want to go through all that effort, you know? They don't have to be like whipped.
Exactly.
In the end.
Exactly. And my kids think that's really special because they associate mashed potatoes with, you know, like more special meals or a restaurant or something. So anyway, I guess back to Saturday, Brian and I had the salmon, and our potatoes were actually like the smaller potatoes that we did like in a skillet, almost like breakfast potatoes with onions. Mm-hmm. They were really good. But we had the baked potatoes for the kids. So fish and potatoes, basically. And then let's see. Do you want to do Liz?
Yeah. So she says she was feeling uninspired, Liz, when she was meal planning. So she picked up Stacy Billis's, our friend Stacy, from Didn't I Just Feed You?
Yep.
Her book, Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. And I remember interviewing her when that book had just come out, like early pandemic time. So that made me happy. And so she planned all their favorites, mac and cheese bar with chicken, used up the chicken leg quarters that they had pulled out for, I never know how to say this, arroz con pollo?
Arroz con pollo, I think.
In Spanish, do you pronounce the Z?
Yeah, you pronounce arroz almost every. Arroz con
pollo? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we needed, you know, I took 4 years of high school Spanish and this is what it gets to me. And then onions, peppers, mushrooms, and broccoli. That sounds really good. And now I want to go check out that cookbook and get some ideas too.
I know. I can't believe I don't have Stacy's cookbook. Every time I see it, I'm like, I need that cookbook. I'm going to get it. Are you intrigued by this mac and cheese bar though with chicken? Like I'm picturing, do you think she made a big pot of mac and cheese and then people could add meat?
Yes, that's
veggies?
What I think.
Mm-hmm. I have not done that. Have you?
I feel like it would be a textural nightmare for me, but maybe I could get used to it. Okay. I don't like, for me, mac and cheese is a side dish and I would not want to add anything to it. I don't even really like fancy mac and cheese. It's like at restaurants when they add bacon and stuff. I'm like, no, I just like mac and cheese all by, like I'm a child that way. So
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm a fan of any kind of a bar situation, not just the that kind of bar, but like where people can add like a baked potato bar or a taco bar. Yeah. So I'm intrigued by having mac and cheese be the base for this bar where you can add stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Very I'm intrigued. Intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Liz. Okay. We're all ready for Sunday.
Well, so Sunday I finally made the pork hash because the dang pork had finally thawed out by like Friday. And I made my standard, my go-to. I have
You're
been
oft,
adding
oft
my
oft talked made, about.
Yes. Oft talked about pork hash. I have been adding onions and peppers lately. Yellow and red peppers or orange peppers, like sweet peppers. And it just gives it a little more something. I don't do a lot of onion. Actually, this time I think I did shallots. Because shallots, you can really cook down so much and they're sweet mm-hmm. and mild. And even kids who don't love onion don't really notice the shallots. But and they're cheap and little and cute. I like them.
I like shallots a lot. Now, let's pretend people don't know about your pork hash because we have a lot of new listeners.
Okay. So if you don't know about it, so I would basically do a low and slow, just like with the pot roast, only for a lot longer. So I sear the pork in my Dutch oven. Sometimes the pork doesn't fit in my Dutch oven and I have to cut it in half, which is always exciting. And sear all the sides and season it. And then I add some kind of liquid. You know what? It was beer that I added to the pork hash. It was wine that I added to the pot roast. Now I remember. And I do like citrus in there. So I'll just have some lemons and limes and squeeze them in and throw the rinds in and cook it at 225 for like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's just falling apart by the time you eat it. And it's delicious.
Nice.
And then I take it out and I mean, it's like a whole thing, but I take it out of the oven, let it cool a little bit, and then start pulling the meat apart. And then I, in a little oil on the stovetop, I like saute up. I don't, saute is not the right word, but you basically crisp up the pork.
Yeah.
And like then I mix that in. Yeah. You fry it. Thank you. And then I add that with, usually I just chunk up the vegetables ahead of time and roast them because it's just hard to kind of get it to all come together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, and then I mix it all together and sometimes crack an egg on top, sometimes don't, and it's really good.
Yum. Sounds so good. I bet it's so good as leftovers too.
It gets better and better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love it. Well, for us on Sunday. Oh, and I wanted to mention we have that recipe. You wrote it up. Do you remember that?
Yes, I wrote it for Isaac.
So you wrote it up as if you wrote it for Isaac, who was moving away from home. That's right. Yes. And then we put that on our blog. So it's written so that someone who does not cook very much for him or herself can follow along.
If you don't know anything, I mean, it's very detailed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sunday we left to drive up to Big Bear. So we knew we were going to go to the grocery store up there, but we didn't want the pressure of doing it the afternoon we arrived. So we actually packed with us the stuff to make chicken wings. And we've been doing our own like baked chicken wings at home for a couple years now. And it's another one that all three of the kids really like. And I think a couple of the keys are buying high quality chicken for the wings, like not necessarily the cheapo frozen bag.
Right.
I mean, if that works and everybody likes it, that's fine. But I have noticed a huge quality difference. There's just more meat on the bone and the meat tastes better. And there's like lots of nice crispy skin. And so we start with high quality chicken wings, both the drumettes and the winglets or whatever you call them. And then Brian does them in the oven with some simple seasoning and butter. And so they are, they're so good. There is butter involved. And then when they come out, he will toss them in a few different sauces, just like if you went to a wings place. So Reed likes it really spicy. So there's always like a Frank's Red Hot, like super spicy one, and then a plain one, and then sometimes like a barbecue or an Asian. And I think it was a learning curve even for Brian, but it's such a go-to now that we call it wings and things when we have wings, because then we would just serve like a salad or cut up carrots or whatever. So anyway, we brought the stuff to do wings and also a box of Kraft mac and cheese, not Annie's mac and cheese, because we were on vacation. And so wings and mac and cheese up at our cabin. And it was really nice to have the first dinner up at that cabin, not have to run to the store. We went to the store.
I love that like Kraft and Annie's probably take exactly the same length of time to make, but Kraft feels more like vacation.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because Kraft, I think, has totally cleaned up some of their ingredients that would have been thought of as like, you know, lots of preservatives and this and that. So it's like, who's to say like the relative health benefits? It's just, but Kraft to me is vacation food, Kraft mac and cheese. So
I think that's so funny. And I just wanted to quickly aside, that we had a briefly lived restaurant here that was called Wings and Thangs.
Oh,
with an A.
I love it.
So I then it. I don't know, like there was like something bad happened and they had to close down. But okay, so we've got two listener meals to share from Sunday, and I'm going to share this one, and I'm going to assume this is a Helena because yes, I don't think her last name is Bonham Carter, and right. that's the only Helena I am familiar with, but I could be wrong. She had crock pot turkey chili with shredded cheese and tortilla chips. I will go like any kind of a, like a Tex-Mex Southwest chili with that combination of accoutrement is like, sign me up.
Yes, agreed. It's such comfort food. And if you have sour cream and cilantro, yeah, sour cream and cilantro just makes it come together. I would like to know about crockpot turkey chili, Helena, because my experience with crockpot soups and chilies is that it doesn't save me any time often. I really end up usually just using them to keep it warm, which is a good function. But I love some crockpot recipes where truly I might just have to brown the meat and then dump in everything else. And I know they exist. I've just never nailed
but
that.
But my Dutch oven serves that purpose. So one thing I think about the crockpot is it's first of all, it's like sitting on the counter. So it's not on your range. Maybe that's a benefit, or it's not in your stove. Maybe that's a benefit. Maybe it's easier for people to like get into, or maybe you can start it super early in the day and go to church or something.
Yeah. And it's safe to leave the house, whereas you probably wouldn't leave a gas range bubbling or something. So
yeah.
Maybe it's not safe to leave the house. Do other people leave their house with the crock pot on? I do.
I leave my house with my oven going. So I don't know. Don't ask me what's safe.
I think we talked about this in another week of Real Life Dinners. I would too, for a short amount of time. Okay. And then Lindsay's 5-year-old daughter and she together made grilled cheese and tomato soup from the America's Test Kitchen Kids Cookbook. So that's really fun. I'm a huge America's Test Kitchen fan. We've worked with them as a sponsor for their kids like subscription box, but we don't have the cookbook. So that's really fun. And also grilled cheese and tomato soup is another like super comfort.
It's classic. Mm-hmm. And so classically Sunday. I love it.
Yes, I love it too. Okay, well, this was really fun. And just a reminder that in the show notes, we will link you up to everybody who wrote in. We're going to publish their full menu for the week because I think it's a great way to get ideas. Even the ones that some of us said this was a fail or this didn't work, it's still a great way to get ideas. So thank you to everybody who sent those in. And then just a reminder again to check out our survey and help us out with the survey at themomhour.com/survey or just write through the link in your show notes.
Yeah. And also we have a surprise for you. We have a special series kicking off tomorrow. It's a 3-part series about family travel. And it's kind of there to help those of you who are looking ahead to starting to travel again or fantasizing about it or you know, just want to dream a little bit about post-COVID travel. That's going to be there for you. So we're going to be releasing episodes tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And I guess that means we'll be talking to you very soon.
I know. You'll be tired of us by the end of the week. So yeah, look for that. The first one drops tomorrow, which is Wednesday. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.